So then I'd like to be the first to congratulate Mr. and Mrs. Zachary Wilson and their new life together on this beautiful occasion of the sacrament of marriage, sacrament of matrimony, that is bestowed this morning on a great feast day, the feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Ghost. We celebrate on this Saturday, it's the eighth day, the final day of the celebration of the coming of the Holy Ghost into our church, the birthday of the church. And it is fitting that we have the birth of a new family in that church on this day. So it's a very beautiful day to receive the sacrament of matrimony. We read here the epistle, not of the Mass today, which is the Mass of the Pentecost, but the epistle of the nuptial Mass, which is taken from St. Paul's out of the Ephesians chapter 5. Brethren, let wives be subject to their husbands as to the Lord, because a husband is the head of the wife, just as Christ is the head of the church, being himself Savior of the body. But just as the church is subject to Christ, so also let wives be to their husbands in all things. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and delivered himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, cleansing her in the bath of water by means of the word, in order that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she might be holy and without blemish. Even thus ought husbands also to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh. On the contrary, he nourishes and cherishes it, as Christ also does the church, because we are members of his body, made from his flesh and from his bones. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, I mean in reference to Christ and to the church. However, let each one of you also love his wife just as he loves himself, and let the wife obey her husband. And then the gospel is taken from that according to St. Matthew chapter 19. At that time there came to Jesus some Pharisees testing him and saying, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any cause? But he answered and said to them, Have you not read that the Creator from the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Therefore now they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So a few considerations on this sacred ceremony of the marriage of Mr. and Mrs. Zach Wilson. We start a new family today. It is an opportunity of rejoicing not only for the two families involved in this sacred union, but also for our parish and for the church. What is the purpose of marriage? Mentioned it in almost every marriage sermon. The meaning of the word matrimony comes from two Latin words, matris monium. Matris meaning of the mother, monium meaning the duty or the office. It is the duty of the mother, the office of the mother. That's what matrimony is. It is a sacred union by which one thing happens. There are two people involved in this union at the beginning. Later on, there will be many more by the grace of God. But no matter how many people are involved in this sacred union, Mr. Zach and Miss Elizabeth, there is only one thing that happens. And that is the making of a mother. It is the office and the duty of motherhood that we celebrate. And we rejoice as a church. We rejoice as a nation. We rejoice as a parish. We rejoice as a family. Because we see in motherhood, we see the future of our church, the future of our nation, the future of our family. We see hope. If there are no mothers in the world, then there is no hope. There is no reason for living, no reason to go on. And not only is there no reason for living, we discover from human beings that without mothers, we do not have life to start off with. It is the most necessary reality of life, motherhood. And it is a most beautiful reality. And so we will consider today the office of motherhood. What is a mother? We read in the book of Genesis about Eve. That God created Adam, and Adam came back to God and he complained that he was lonely. It may be said that man was the first to complain, but Eve made up for it in quantity of complaints later on. But nonetheless, the first to complain in sacred scripture was Adam. He came back to God and he said, "I am lonely, for there is no one like unto myself." He wanted someone like unto himself, with whom he could share his ideas, with whom he could share his life and his treasures. He felt that his life was empty, though the entire world was given to him. God said to Adam, "This entire world is yours. Rule it and do with it as you wish." And Adam was not happy with this. It was not enough for him. "For there is no one that I can share this world with." And so God put Adam to sleep. And from his side, he created woman. Then we read in the book of Genesis that Adam named all of the animals. He named all of the creatures on the earth. And it says that he named them according to their natures. He didn't just invent a name and say, "Giraffe." But he named them according to their natures, according to the basic language that God had infused in him, according to what they were, he named them. And then there was a woman created from his side. He saw her, and he named her Eve. This name, therefore, is a sacred name. It is different than every other kind of name given to a woman. When you name a child, you name them according to your relatives and so on. But when Adam named, he named according to nature. He saw this beautiful thing, and he called her Eve, which translated means the mother of all the living. It is in the nature of every girl to have two things in her, motherhood and life. It is the privilege of man to be able to participate in this motherhood and to assist in this life. And so on the day of marriage, in this sacred ceremony of the church, the man, Mr. Zachary, is only celebrated because he is going to make a mother and be united to a mother. Today is the day of Miss Elizabeth, as far as the church is concerned. All the blessings of today are given to the bride, and it is this way in every single sacred marriage that is done in the Catholic Church. It is the blessing of the bride. The husband is not blessed. For instance, in the beginning, I did not bless his ring, only blessed hers. He is not blessed. She is blessed. And in the blessing of Miss Elizabeth, because he is going to be united to her, because she is going to be his treasure, he is therefore blessed. And so we see in the beginning of the marriage classes, marriage is about motherhood. Motherhood is about children, the future. And a man is sacredly united to this because he's going to make a mother. And there are his obligations and his duties and his privileges. They are all connected to her motherhood. First of all, before he is going to bring to himself a woman that is going to be his wife and to be the mother of his children, He needs to have a place in which she can do her mothering. He must build a home. And since the coming of original sin, it is necessary that the man be able to protect this home. When God created the world, there would have been no need for protecting it because it was a perfect world. But when sin came into it, man had to take on a new power, and that is the power of protecting the good that he is supposed to watch over. And therefore, Mr. Zachary needs the gift of fortitude that the Holy Ghost can instill into him on this day. The strength to persevere through a sacred union of marriage now in the next 50 or 60 or 70 years. The strength to be able to ward off the attacks of the world. The strength to be able to defend his home. He needs his strength because he is connected to motherhood. He's going to bring a mother into this home. He needs to be able to provide for that mother. He needs to be able to protect that mother. He needs to be able to guide that mother. And how is he going to do it? St. Paul says, the way that a man guides and protects and leads his mother, the wife that is going to be the mother of his children, is by love. It's interesting that St. Paul in the epistle, he speaks of the husbands, the importance of love. To the wives, he speaks the importance of respect and obedience. He mentions these things because they're problems. He mentions those things that are a difficulty for a man. And he mentions those things that are a difficulty for a woman. And so he says, husbands, love your wives. It's also important to note that the epistle, there is much more devoted to the obligations of the husband than there are to the obligations of the wife. But husbands, love your wives as your own flesh. St. Paul tries to speak in a way that men can understand. Because all men like their own flesh. We all like our own comfort. We like to get our own way. We like to take care of ourselves. We like to be taken care of. If only a man can love his wife as his own flesh, then he will be fine. But he rather uses his flesh against his wife. That's the temptation. Rather than considering her his flesh, he rather thinks of how she can serve his flesh. And St. Paul says, no, she is your flesh. From this day forward, her pleasure, her desires, her wants is what matters. And yours do not matter. One of the things that happens on the day of the sacred union of marriage to Mr. Zachary, it is the day of the celebration of the death. That's why he wears black. It is the day of the celebration of the death of his own will. Zach used to do whatever he wished. These days are over. He is now a slave to a girl. And being a Lee girl, she has a very strong will. So he's got some challenges on his hands, but I wish you the best, Mr. Zach. Nonetheless, it is the day of the celebration of the death of his own will. That is why he is going to wear black. It's also why we priests wear black, because we walk around, we're supposed to remind you of death. And so he is wearing black. He no longer is going to be the happy-go-lucky bachelor. He now has to care for his family. And the good husband is the one that dies. The one that dies on a cross. Because St. Paul tells us in this beautiful epistle in which he speaks about the beauty of the sacrament of marriage, that it is a great mystery in Christ and in his church. Zachary is Christ. And Elizabeth is the church. And Zachary, like Christ, came to this world in order to die. As Bishop Sheen says, Jesus Christ did not need to come to live because he is God and he is already life. He didn't need to come here to be happy because he is perfectly happy. There was only one reason why he could come to this earth, and that is to do something that God could never do in his divinity, and that's die. God cannot die. But if God becomes man, then he can. And so Zachary has the privilege of celebrating his own death today. And we are all happy for him because we didn't like the guy who was here before. He needs to go to a new kind of life. He needs to die to his old self and take on a new life. This new life is a very beautiful life and one that will never end. But the condition of this new life is death to his own will. So from this day forward, he will consider what is best for his wife, what is best for his children, what is best for the church, what is best for our nation. He will be looking to the good of the nation, of the United States, the good of the church, the good of his wife, the good of the family, and there will be no room for him to consider the good of himself. There just isn't any time. This is the life of the husband. And there is one of the mysteries and beauties of the Catholic life. And it is one of the seeming contradictions, one of the many. The condition of Zachary getting his way is that he never wishes to get it. The condition for him living a happy life is to prepare for death. Our Lord Jesus Christ went only to death, but when he arrived at that death, on the third day, he rose from the dead forever. So likewise, Mr. Zachary, when he learns the ways of the Holy Ghost, the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, which needs to go inside of him, will teach him those seven gifts and the 12 fruits, teach him the life of virtue, and he will learn how he will always get what he wants, not only in supernatural ways, but in natural ways, when he only cares for her and the children and Christ. It's just one of the things that happens. Read the lives of the saints. In the lives of the saints, we will learn about the importance of them sacrificing their wills. And yet we discover that they always got what they wanted. And that's the way it is. And those who seek their own will, somehow it gets frustrated. Somehow it all turns bad. And so Zachary must learn the battle of the will. Love means a sacrifice for the sake of Miss Elizabeth the rest of his days. And then he lives a happy life. That's what matrimony is for the man. Devoting his entire life to the mother. And then matrimony for the woman. The duty and the office of motherhood. Miss Elizabeth is a mother. On this day, she has taken on the properties of motherhood. God soon will give her children. But she already today has the properties of the mother in her. That's why we give her a white garment. Because there is nothing more beautiful than a new mother. And so we all celebrate this motherhood that Elizabeth has received today and that she needs to maintain all of her days. And also know this mystery about the white garment. It is worn at Easter by the new baptized. It is worn by the bride on the day of her wedding. And the white garment is never supposed to disappear. On the outside, it is white, showing that in the beginning of her life, she's an external lady. The interior life is not yet fully hers. This comes with time. So right now her whiteness is in her beauty. Her whiteness is in her good habits and her good nature. But as time grows on, that whiteness must enter deeper into the heart. It must enter into the soul so that she is all white, with complete purity of heart and purity of soul, and that she doesn't care about anything other than the love of God. And so my prayer for you, Miss Elizabeth, is the prayer of Rebecca. There are three great blessings But today we ask, especially in this Mass, or I will be praying specifically in this Mass, that Elizabeth learn the ways of Rebecca. It's one of the three blessings of the marriage blessing. May you be long-lived of life and faithful as was Sarah and her husband Abraham. May you be beloved of your husband as was Rachel and her husband Jacob. But may you have the wisdom of Rebecca, and her husband was Isaac. And so I'll ask that Miss Elizabeth receives the wisdom of Rebecca. This is my primary prayer during this Mass. Wisdom. A good mother must be wise. We are in a world in which everything is trying to bring souls away from God. The modern world is attacking the family, and the modern world is trying to destroy the children and the mothers and the fathers and everyone in between. I'm not even sure that you need to have a mother and a father in marriage anymore. The modern world has many wicked attacks, and it will take a wise mother to be able to overcome these attacks. And what is the wisdom of Rebecca? Rebecca was wise because she saw only God's will. Jacob and Esau. She loved Jacob because Jacob was blessed by God and meant to have the birthright. And she saw to it that Jacob fulfilled God's will, even though Jacob on his own made foolish mistakes. She saw to it that Isaac did God's will, even though Isaac on his own made foolish mistakes. She saw to it that Esau put away his hatred, even though he wanted to kill his own brother. Somehow she was able to make Esau and Jacob friends again. She was able to make Isaac do God's will. She was able to save Jacob and make him receive the birthright as God wished. Somehow Rebecca arranged everything. And it is because Rebecca saw only God. Of these three women, she was the most supernatural. Of the great women of Rachel, Rebecca, and Sarah, she was the most supernatural. And therefore the Church says, may you have the wisdom of Rebecca to see through the vicissitudes and the troubles of daily life. And one of the things that Miss Elizabeth must learn, motherhood is the whole of life. There is no such thing as a part-time mother. Doesn't exist. Nowadays we have part-time mothers, part-time fathers. But there is no such thing as a part-time mother, because motherhood is life. And life we either breathe all the time or we die. We cannot breathe today, take a break from breathing tomorrow so that we'll be able to breathe better on the next day. Motherhood is a full-time job. And there can be no other focus in Miss Elizabeth's life if she wishes to live a happy life. She is today beginning to be mother, and she must become closer and closer and closer to her motherhood. There are so many beauties and joys that God has only allowed the mother to see. None of the rest of us can ever see it. But let those mothers know the beauty of their occupation and the beauty of their life and the beauty of their essence and the beauty of what they are, and not turn away from motherhood to any other thing. Hence, there can be no birth control. There can never be a turning away from the husband. There can be no refusals ever in the marriage. Because she is mother, and because of the sacredness of her motherhood. And it will not be forgotten. And there will be no daycare. No pawning off of the children to others. Children do not need the most perfect person in the world to watch over them. They need mommy. And no one takes the place of mommy. And so, Elizabeth, I pray that you receive today the wisdom of Rebecca. She so beautifully was immersed in her own motherhood that she saw God. God in Isaac, God in Jacob, God in Esau. And she found a way to bring God out in all three of them. And so you need to learn those same things, Miss Elizabeth. And that'll be my primary prayer today, the wisdom of Rebecca. It is a beautiful day, this day of sacred union of matrimony. But God gives us all a free will. He starts off all things well. But only if we follow His will are things going to end well. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and no man can. However, we can sin against our own marriage, against our own obligations, against our own happiness. We don't need more statistics. We need more love. There's enough bad statistics out there to go around. Enough broken families. Enough abandoned children. We need to reestablish the kingship of Jesus Christ. We need to reestablish His life on this earth. We need to follow the ways of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, who is with us on this day of Pentecost. May He instill inside of you, as it said in the gospel today, there are many others I must bring to the kingdom. Well, we need to bring more into the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is done primarily through the sacrament of marriage. Live a holy and happy marriage. Be faithful to your obligations. Remember the things I told you in the marriage classes. And you will live a happy life. And I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.